It is very good to see everyone this Lord's Day morning as we are assembled to worship God in spirit and in truth. Our gospel meeting is just a couple of weeks away, and we have been working and laboring towards this effort, and we're going to talk about that for a few moments this morning. I want us to open our Bibles up, and I want us to consider the power of an invitation and just how much power there is in a simple invitation as we are looking at and preparing for our gospel meeting. We have already been, no doubt, extending invitations, but I want us to focus upon this, that in the 2 weeks to come, and even during our gospel meeting week, that we will continue to extend the invitation for people to come and to hear the gospel. We just sang, "The walls came tumbling down." There are in the lives of many of us those fears and those uncertainties and those hang-ups that we have about inviting people and talking with people about their soul salvation and about the gospel. And I hope a study like this morning will help those walls to tumble down, and that we would overcome those fears, those uncertainties, and that we would be very zealous and very much involved in simply inviting people to come and to hear the gospel being preached. You know, it's interesting, the Bible closes with a simple invitation to come. What we see in the last two chapters of the Bible, in Revelation chapters 21 and 22, is the curtain is pulled back and we're allowed to see the glories of heaven. And there, towards the very end, there's an invitation that is extended. And the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." And let him who hears say, "Come." And let him who thirst come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. This invitation, this simple invitation to come, is extended by the Holy Spirit. It's extended by the Holy Spirit through the gospel, the preaching of the gospel. But it's also extended by the bride. And who is the bride? It is the church. And so we collectively, as a church, we are extending this invitation through the opportunities that we provide for the gospel to be preached in different ways and in different formats. But notice, the invitation is also to be extended by individuals who themselves have heard and responded to the invitation to come. And let him who hears say, "Come." And that's talking to you and to me individually as Christians. We have this responsibility to perpetuate this invitation for people to come and to hear the gospel. This simple invitation, come. Come and see. Come and investigate. Come and learn. This simple invitation was extended first by the Lord Himself. If you would turn with me to John chapter 1, I want to go through a few verses in this chapter, and I want us to see the role that this simple invitation, come, come and see, what kind of an impact this simple invitation had upon the gospel of Jesus Christ in the first century. John chapter 1, starting at verse 35. "Again the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.'" Pointed out Jesus to them as the one that he's been prophesying about, that he's been talking about. There he is. There's the Lamb of God, as if you go and follow him. Now, the two disciples, verse 37, "The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, 'What do you seek?' They said to him, 'Rabbi,'" which is to say, when translated, "teacher, 'where are you staying?' He said to them, 'Come and see.'" Very simple invitation. Come and see. They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. And that was about the 10th hour. So they went and they spent the rest of that day with him. They didn't spend a lot of time with him, but what we see immediately following is that one of these two disciples who responded to his invitation ends up extending one of his own. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. Now, I realize the words come and see are not found in this, but definitely the invitation is found, isn't it? He leaves the Lord's presence, very excited about what he's found, and he goes and he finds his brother. And he says, "We have found him. We have found the one that we've been looking for. We have found Jesus, the Messiah, who is the Christ. Come and see him." And of course, he comes to see Jesus, and Jesus tells him that he's going to be called Cephas or Peter. We know a lot about Peter, don't we? As we study through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, study through the book of Acts, look at the epistles, we learn a lot about Peter. We don't know very much about Andrew, though, by comparison. But we would have no Simon Peter if it wasn't for Andrew saying, "Come and see." You know what's interesting? We don't know a lot about Andrew, but as you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, every time you read of Andrew acting independently from the other apostles, a lot of times they're mentioned as a group, and the disciples did this, the disciples did that. But the very few times we read of Andrew by himself, he's always bringing someone to Jesus. He's doing it here. He's the one that brings the lad with the loaves and the fishes unto Jesus. In John chapter 12, he's the one that goes to Jesus telling him of Gentiles who want to meet with him. We need to be like Andrew. We look at Peter and we look at Paul and we look at James and John. Let's not overlook Andrew. Let's be bringing people unto Jesus. How'd he do it? Come and see. You've got to see this man. Come and see. It's that simple. We keep reading right here in John chapter 1. At verse 43, we read of Philip. "The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, 'Follow me.'" That's all. That's all he says. Whether he knew Philip before this or not, we don't know. But on this occasion, he goes to Philip, he says, "Follow me." "Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, 'We have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.' And Nathanael said, 'Can anything good come out of Nazareth?' Philip said to him, 'Come and see.'" What did he do? He perpetuated this simple invitation, "Come and see." And we know that he comes and his doubts here are answered, and he comes to believe in Jesus Christ. But he wouldn't have, if it hadn't been for Philip, very easily, very simply saying, "Come and see." We skip ahead a couple of chapters to John chapter 4. And here we are, we're looking at Jesus, and then we're looking at two of his apostles. And yes, these would have been men who had some influence, who had some credibility. But in John chapter 4, Jesus encounters the Samaritan woman at the well. And this is a woman who did not have any influence and who did not have any credibility. For one, she was a Samaritan, and John says the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. But also she was an immoral woman. She didn't go out in the morning to fill her water pot there from the well when all the other women were there, because she was being shunned. She was an immoral woman, so she went out in the middle of the day when no one was there. And Jesus says, "Give me water to drink." And she's amazed that he talks to her. And they begin talking, as we've studied John chapter 4 in the past. And he reveals unto her not only that she is an immoral woman, that she is not right with God, but reveals the fact that he is the Messiah. He is the Christ. If you look at verses 28 and 29, "The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, 'Come, see a man who told me all things I ever did. Could this be the Christ?' Then they went out of the city and came to him." Here's a woman. Come and see. You've got to see this. Come and see this man. Well, down in verse 39, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, 'He told me all things that I ever did.' So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word." But they wouldn't have heard anything if it hadn't been for this woman saying, "Come and see." Now what we're talking about today, extending this simple invitation, we're looking here at the Lord who started it, at his disciples who perpetuated it, and even an immoral person who had no influence, no credibility at all, They were able to bring people unto Jesus with these simple words, come and see. I want to tell you, there's not a person here this morning that can't do this. Every one of us can do this. We can extend the simple invitation to come and see. In a survey that was done a number of years ago, there were 10,000 churchgoers who were asked this question. Now, by churchgoers, I don't mean members of the Church of Christ. I mean all across the spectrum, churchgoers. But they were asked this question, what was responsible for your coming to Christ and this church? What was it that brought you to Christ? What was it that brought you to the church? And the results of this survey are very interesting. 1% just planned to visit there. They knew the church was there. This Sunday we're going to go. We're going to visit this church. 1%. 2% had a special need. Every once in a while people will search out a church because they have a particular need. Maybe it's some counseling. Maybe it's monetary, a need in that way. But 2% had a special need. 3% liked the programs. All the money that is spent by the churches of men to have all these different kinds of programs and all these people on staff to provide these programs for the church, for the members, and for the community, 3%? If you're in business, you don't even bat your eye at something that only gives you 3% return. No, that doesn't work. 3% just walked in. I want to tell you, people do just walk into a church building. I've seen it happen before. Maybe you've seen it happen here as well. People do just walk in. Not very many. But some people do just happen to walk by the building when it's time to have worship, and they do just walk in. 5% like Sunday school, or we'd call it Bible class. And I think perhaps maybe in the Lord's church that number might be even more, because we do put a lot of emphasis in teaching our children the Bible. And so there, but still, that's just 5%. Here's a humbling figure, and I'm not sure it's entirely accurate, but only 6% like the preacher. Only 6%. 79% said they were invited by a friend or a relative. The next closest number you have to that is 6%. 79% said they responded to an invitation, come and see, that was extended by a friend or a relative. I want to tell you, not only can every one of us here be doing this, there's nothing better that we can be doing to try to see the cause of Christ grow and to try to see souls being saved than to extend the simple invitation, would you like to come to church with me this Sunday? I'll come pick you up. You know, we're studying world religions on Wednesday night. That's a very interesting study. I know you'd get something out of it. Would you like to come? Would you like to be there? We've got a gospel meeting coming up. That's a special week for us. Would you like to be my guest? I'll pick you up. Would you come with me? Every one of us can be doing that. And statistically, it is by far the most successful thing that we can be doing in leading people to Christ. Now, my question this morning, what makes a simple invitation, come and see? What makes that so powerful? What gives it this much power that 79% who are surveyed would say, that's what did it. That's what did it. What gives a personal invitation so much power? Well, when we're talking about inviting people to come to the Lord or to come to hear the gospel being preached, we see that this kind of an invitation actually meets a great need. The first passage that we looked at this morning in Revelation chapter 22 and at verse 17, let him who thirsts come. There's very few, if any, biological desires that are stronger than hunger and thirst. When we thirst, that is a desire that has to be met. There are people around about us today that thirst spiritually. Now, they may not know what to call it. They may not recognize or realize that they have a spiritual need, that they are thirsting, but they have a need. They have a thirst. They have a desire. They feel the effect of sin on their lives, and they want to do something about it. And the desire, the appeal of this invitation is that it is both universal and free. Whosoever, let him come and drink the water of life freely. We're not trying to get people to commit to buying something. We're not trying to reach into their pocketbook, although churches may be accused of that. What we are offering is the free gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus extended another invitation that we're familiar with in Matthew chapter 11. Turn to Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Here, this great, this beautiful invitation is extended to all those who need rest. And at the time that Jesus spoke and gave this invitation, the Jews needed rest. They were under a double burden. Number one, they were under the burden of a law that could not take away their sins. The law of Moses was powerless to take away their sins. Even Peter, in Acts chapter 15, referred to the law of Moses as a yoke which neither we nor our fathers have been able to bear. They were under the burden of the law of Moses that offered no relief from sin. But the double burden was the fact that the elders and the scribes and the Pharisees put their own traditions on top of that law and made it even harder to bear. So here they were laboring under traditions and laboring under a law that couldn't save. And Jesus says, I'll give you rest. And that appealed to them. That appealed to many people then. I want to tell you, it's going to appeal to many people today. Not everyone. Not everyone that we extend an invitation to is going to care at the time to come, but there are going to be some who do. You know people, and I know people, who need rest. They need this relief from the burden of their guilt. They've got sinful habits that they just can't seem to break. They have nothing constructive to do with their lives, no positive direction in which to live their lives, and the gospel answers these needs. Come and see. Come and see what you'll find. They're searching for what the gospel provides, salvation from their sins. An invitation is powerful because it connects the one who is in need with the one who can provide, the only one who can provide for that need. And that's Jesus Christ. So we're dealing with something that's very powerful because there are many people around us who have this need. Again, they might not recognize it, they might not know what to call it, but they have this need. Secondly, this invitation is very powerful because it expresses a personal interest. Look at Luke chapter 14. Turn to Luke chapter 14. The adage is true. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People need to know that they matter. And a personal invitation to attend church services sends this message. People want to fit in, or at least by and large people do. They don't know that they're lost, but they know that they want to be cared about. An invitation, would you come with me? Would you come to where I go to church? I'd like to share that with you. You see the impact that has? I care about you. This is something that's special to me, and I want to share it with you. That connects with a lot of people. But you see, a personal invitation is necessary in order for this message to be sent. Every church in town is sending an at-large invitation to the community. They've got a sign out in front of their building with the times of services on it. That's an invitation. Come be with us. They've got an ad in the newspaper. They've got an ad in the yellow pages. They've got a website saying, come and be with us. Every group in town is sending out this impersonal invitation. We saw the statistics. 3% at best respond to that. But 79% respond when you or I went to them personally and said, would you come to church with me? Now there's that personal connection. There's that interest. I care about you. I want to share where I go to church with you. A church has not fulfilled the Great Commission by constructing a building and posting the signs of sign saying when the church meets. The commission says to go, not to build and wait. If you build it, He will come. That's not the Bible. That's what that cornfield told Kevin Costner in Field of Dreams. No, the Bible doesn't say, build it and they'll come. The Bible says, go. Go. In Luke chapter 14, there's the parable here of the great supper that was prepared. And those who were invited, they turned down the invitation. Verse 17, this man, he sent at his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they with all with one accord, began to make excuses. The first said to him, I bought a piece of ground and I must go see it. I ask you to have me excused. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. We're not to build a building, open the door, and wait for the masses to come. No, we are to go out and say, come and see. Come and see. Every one of us can be doing that. And it works because it connects with people on a personal level. Number 3, this invitation, the simple invitation works because it is non-threatening. There are some approaches that some brethren make that can close doors and can ruin opportunities forever. Some brethren, quite honestly, need to learn some tact when it comes to trying to reach others with the gospel. There's a wrong way to carry out the work of evangelism, attacking someone's faith. How can you be so dumb to believe that? Well, you write that person off. You know what? Why are you so silly that you believe that? That's not the way to connect with people and to help people to understand the truth and care about what you have to say. No, most people don't like to have their faith challenged. There are a few who do, but in this politically correct world we live in, For a lot of people, that's off limits. They don't like to have their faith challenged. But an invitation to come to a gospel meeting with me, an invitation, would you come to Bible class with me? Would you come to worship services with me? All that is an invitation. Would you come? That's all it is. It's not, would you like to get together and debate this subject? That's not what I'm inviting you to do. It's not, would you leave your church and leave the church your family's gone to for generations and come over to my church and join it. That's not what I'm doing. I'm inviting you if you would come and be my guest. That's all that is. Now, when they come, they're going to hear some things that might challenge their beliefs. They're going to see and observe some things that are different, and they're going to ask some questions. And you know what? That's a whole different matter when they're the ones asking the questions. And they're the ones, you know, what's this and what's that? Well, there's your open door. And there's your opportunity to teach. But it started with a non-threatening invitation. Would you just come and be my guest? Why is it so successful? Why is it so powerful? Because it is non-threatening. We're not pulling a bait and switch. We're not inviting people to come and to play softball with us, but at the end of the softball game, we're going to have a Bible study, and you're going to be expected to stick around for the Bible study. We're not doing that. We're being open. We're being honest. Would you like to come to worship services with me? That's powerful. And number 4, it's so powerful and so successful, 79%, because it requires limited knowledge and skill. Now, it's going to require a lot of zeal. We saw that on the part of Andrew. Hey, we have found the Christ. You've got to come see Him. Philip says, we found this man that the prophets have spoken of, Jesus of Nazareth. Come and see. That requires some zeal. And it requires some courage. Those walls have to tumble down. We're going to have to step out of our comfort zone. And it requires a love for lost souls. But extending a simple invitation to come to church, to come to Bible class, to come to the gospel meeting, You don't have to know the book of Romans, frontwards and backwards. You don't have to know about the patriarchal law, mosaical law, and when one ended and when the other one began. We spent some time talking about that in Bible class this morning. That's something important. We need to study that. We need to know that, but not to invite someone to come to church. We don't have to be Bible scholars to do that. Think again about Andrew and Philip. They'd spent very little time with the Lord, but they knew enough that He needed to be shared with people that they cared about, and they did it. When Nathanael said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip didn't say, "Well, let's talk about that and enter into a debate with him." What did he say? "Come and see. Just come and see." Now we can do that same thing. We can be inviting people to come and to see. This simple invitation is so powerful. It's proven statistically with the survey that I made mention of, but it's also proven scripturally by the Word of God. People who were excited about the Lord simply extended the invitation, and people came, and people responded. We've talked the last week or so not only about our gospel meeting coming up, but we've talked about a new tool that we are going to have. I'll call it a tool, because that's exactly what it is. We had some cards made up, designed professionally by a member of the church in Louisville, Kentucky. Doesn't charge for this. This is something that he wants to do for the Lord. And so they're very attractive, very well done, and we've got a good number of these on hand. So instead of the flyers that have been run off the copy machine, we've got this. And I want to encourage you to take these and to hand these things out to people and invite them to come and to hear the gospel being preached. On the front, see, it's that simple. On the front of the card is the invitation to come and hear gospel preaching. And who we are, who's doing the speaking, the week, the days, the times, the services. On the back, there's a map to the building, and there's the topics that are going to be discussed found on the back of the card. We need to take these and we need to be handing them out. We need to be inviting people to come and to hear the gospel. I came back, I held a gospel meeting about a month ago in Florida, and I know you're getting tired of hearing about it, I keep bringing it up. But they used cards like this, designed by the same individual. They used these cards, and the members there told me that they'd never had a turnout from the community for a gospel meeting like they had this week. And it was from passing out cards and handing out these cards. I went out with the preacher on Monday as the meeting began. We went out to some different places to hand out these cards. And you know, several of the places we came to, the cards were already there. The members had taken the cards there and dropped the cards off at these places. The members got excited about it. The members got busy handing these cards out. And they had visitors who came. Visitors from other churches, but visitors, a lot of visitors from the community. And I got excited about that. I've talked with the elders about it, and I'm glad that they have said, let's try this as well. So we've got plenty of these cards. They won't do us any good after the meeting is over. So let's take them, and let's hand them out, and let's do what we can to have the Lord's house full when this gospel meeting goes on. Who are we going to hand these things out to? I want to put one more slide up here, and I want to give us an opportunity, because we all know people. We already know people to hand these things out to, but here's something that could help us. Maybe to think of some people we haven't thought about before. We've got relatives that we can invite to come to the gospel meeting. They need to get one of these cards. We've got close friends, and we've got barely friends. We've got acquaintances. We can give them cards to them. Co-workers, people that you work with that you know very well, invite them. People that you go to school with. People that you do things with, your hobbies and your sports, your recreation, things like that. Religious friends who talk about things that they're doing with their church and their spiritual interests. Well, now's your turn to invite them to come with you. Yes, you've got friends like this. Invite them. Unfaithful church members. Those who used to assemble here and they don't go anywhere anymore. When I mention that, I'm sure some people come to your mind. When was the last time you contacted them? When was the last time you called them or sent them an invitation? How about people who need to be here that aren't? Your next door neighbors, your new neighbors, Welcome to the community. Is there a place you go to church? I'd like to invite you to come and worship with me. A family with a new baby. Somehow that new responsibility wakes some young people up. Hey, we need to be in church. So if you know someone that's just had a baby, about to have a baby, they need to get one of these cards. Someone who's lost a loved one. I don't know if there's anything that opens up the door of someone's heart than losing someone that they care about. And that door opens up and they start looking for some comfort and some answers. You know someone that's lost a loved one? Get them a card. How about people that you know in the store? How about people that work where you go in the grocery store or other places that you go into? In this gospel meeting, we went to a furniture store that was owned by a brother in Christ. And as we were waiting for him to come, we were talking to one of the clerks there, one of the ladies who worked there. We gave her a couple of those cards. You know, she showed up later that week with her kids in tow and came to the gospel meeting. Store clerk, would you like to come? Here's a card. Won't you come and be with us? She showed up, and they're following up with her. The waitress at your restaurant, they give you that little folder, and you got to put all that stuff in there. Somehow that card needs to find its way in that little folder as well. Your doctor, your dentist, oh no, those are professionals. That's kind of off limits. Who says they're off limits? They care about you. They care about your health. You care about their soul. Invite them to come. Your mechanic, and on down we can go with this list. Maybe looking at this as giving you some ideas that you didn't have just a few minutes ago. There are a lot of people that we can be giving these things to, inviting them to come and to hear the gospel this week. So we've got our attention on the gospel meeting that is coming up. That's our focus. But I hope that we'll see some positive results from this during the gospel meeting. And it won't end there, but that we'll continue to invite people to come. That we'll get in the habit of looking for those who are looking and simply extending that simple invitation, would you like to come and see? I'd like to share it with you. I know that we can all do that. This sermon has been primarily in-house. That is, it's been for the members here to encourage us to get ready for our gospel meeting. But if there's any here who are in need of obeying the gospel, who thirst for that living water, and who are weary and they need that rest, and they need that comfort, and they need that burden lightened, Jesus still offers that. We don't have to wait for the meeting. We can take care of that right here and right now. If you're ready to obey the gospel, we'd be glad to assist you in that. If you need to make your life right with the Lord, we'd be glad to help you with that. If you have questions and you're interested, we'd be glad to talk with you after services and study with you and help you to understand the gospel as well. But whatever your need is right now, we invite you to let it be made known by coming forward as we stand and sing this song.